Hello there and welcome along to the official EFL podcast. Barrow currently sit third in Sky Bet League 2. The Blue Bears flying under boss Pete Wilde. He joins us this week.
We know if we keep putting points on the board, we're not daft. We know where we'll be. We keep at this run rate that we're on. So we just want to see where we can. Utopia is we get out of this league. Of course it is. Why would we all? But we wouldn't be in football if we didn't want to try and get out of this league. So utopia is we get out of the league. But we're not halfway yet.
Sky Sports' Gary Weaver returns as co-host and one of England's finest ever goal scorers takes the 72-in-72 test. It's Birmingham City boss Wayne Rooney. All of this is coming your way on the official EFL podcast. Hello there, a very warm welcome to the official EFL podcast. Co-host this week, back for more, is Gary Weaver. Gary, hello, how are you?
Brooks, I'm good, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. We're just flipping it slightly this week. So all of your gold, all of your wonderful kind of brain thoughts about every single division in the NFL can wait for just a second.
But
don't worry, you're going to be well used in just a second. Because joining us firstly here on the podcast is the Barrow boss, Pete Wilde, the November Manager of the Month. Congratulations, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Morning, fellas.
It's great to see you, Pete. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. And it's been one of those that we've been rubbing our hands together to get the chance to talk to you because of the chat in League Two. I'm sure you are bored to the back teeth of it. Doesn't seem to involve Barrow. Maybe that's a good thing because it's all about Hollywood. It's all about these big money teams. But your side doing mightily well indeed. How have you found it so far?
Well, it's been great and long may it continue that nobody talks about us. So we don't go out here and start talking about us. We're quite happy to be under. It's been good. It's been a really good start to the season. Everybody, after last year, we were sort of looked upon as, well, are they a flash in the pan? Are they a team that just had a good season? And one of the things we wanted to be this year was be consistent and have another go. And can we be at the right end of the table? So that's what this year has been built on. We obviously, me and Adam are quite young managers and coaches. So we wanted to learn from last year and I think we did about a three-day reflective piece on last season on where did we go wrong or what could we do better. And I think what we tried to do is build a squad and build a way of playing around what we learned from last year, of which there was so much.
When you talk about consistent, I mean, that is the real gold, isn't it, for a manager or a coach? Having players do the things more often than not that are good that you tell them to do. Where does that come from? Is that a test of you personally, professionally? Is it a case of personnel getting the right players in? Or have you been able to do a bit of that with working with the existing core group?
Well, I think if you spoke to my wife, she'd tell you I'm quite simple. So I do the simple thing.
Join the club, mate.
Yeah. I do the simple thing as well. But we're trying not to be complicated. I think the everybody wants simplicity and everybody wants to know where they stand and where they're up to. So we've tried to work on that path and keep things relatively simple. And we certainly don't want to try and be Manchester City. We want to try and make sure that we are, everybody knows when they walk out on the pitch on a Saturday afternoon what the plan is. And more importantly, this year, if that plan doesn't work, what's the next plan? So we're trying to go into games with a real simplistic plan that if when the opposition come and they stop us doing what we're good at, that we have a slightly different plan that we can go to. And that's what we try to do. We, like you say, with consistency, this time at the period last year, we tried to play more football and tried to be more expansive. And the league at this time of year doesn't demand that. So we're trying now to make sure that we keep putting points on the board, that draws are our friend and not our enemies. And making sure that every point matters and every point counts to us. And we created, I got it off a few clubs and I think it came out of rugby union at the start around these points per game. So we looked at what points you need. So you're probably going to need 70 odd to get in the playoffs. We want to go on a 1.5 points a game till Christmas. Obviously, we're well above that at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then we need a couple of Brucey bonuses on the way. And what I've tried to do is take the players away from looking at league tables. They don't make any difference. And I'm sure they're great for you guys because they can start to tell us where it, but they don't make any difference this time of year. It's about putting points on the board and making sure that we hit minimum points targets per month that keep us on track. And I think a lot of the players have bought into that this year and a lot of the staff them, and it's firmly about that. And across this Christmas period now, it's really very, very much about making sure we just keep putting points on the board.
And Pete, you've brought some experience in the summer. The likes of James Chester, of course, are there right now. As a young head coach, can that be difficult sometimes? I mean, how important is it that you've brought that experience into the squad?
I think it's an interesting one, that, Gary, because a lot of young managers would probably stay away from experienced pros because for whatever reason. Yeah. Having never played the game, I need people that around like that around us, Jamie Proctors, James Chesters. And what we've tried to do with them is say, listen, we want your input. We want you to help us. You've played so many league games. Why would we not want your help? And for example, we've got Jamie Proctor working with Emil Aqua on pinning centre halves, and Jamie's probably one of the best in the lower leagues at pinning centre halves. And Emil's coming through in the game. James Chester working with our young defenders. We're trying to use them in positive ways where they can share clips and go, well, listen, when I'm in that position, I can do that. I am one of the biggest things. I don't portray to have ever been a footballer. I portray to be.
None of those pruts, by the way.
So, what am I going to tell him about pinning centre? I can tell you what it says in the book about pinning centre halves, but yeah. I've been in that position, and that's one of the big reasons why we wanted an experienced group this year.
But I suppose what really dovetails in well with exactly what you said there, Pete, with regards to how you get points across, because Gary and I, we've had the pleasure of speaking to several different coaches this season who've all had different journeys into getting to their particular role. Some that have been career coaches, some that kind of almost kind of made it early doors but had to come out of the game and went in a slightly different way. What seems to be the case with that, and I don't know whether Gary agrees, I mean, very rarely agrees with me, but that when you talk about telling players something that possibly they already know, i.e. experienced footballers, it feels you've got a more rounded way of approaching it by doing things away from the kind of bricks and mortar of a football club, you know, in a traditional playing for 15 years sense, that it almost kind of a normality almost to what it is to managing players and people. That do you feel that stands you in perhaps a different stead to say some of your peer group that are looking after different teams?
I think so. I've had so many different experiences in life outside of football, and grew up very much in the pub game with my parents, that you had to grow up and you had to communicate with adults from a young age. That I think that stood me in good stead. That I'd like to think my communication and moving people in a direction and getting everybody to drive towards a shared goal. We have a saying here, and something I learned years ago, that it doesn't matter who's right, it's what's right. I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right. And we've tried to have that mentality. As long as it's said in the right way and it's not abusive or doesn't come across condescending or whatever you want to say, as long as it comes across in the right way, we just want the best for the football club. And I want people here who want the best for the football club. And in our recruitment, number one on our recruitment, is he a good lad? Number two is he a good footballer? I want the best lads will get you out of the bad times, which every club has every year. The best players, they may not.
I was going to say, you do spend a lot of time together, don't you? So having the right characters is important. And you're talking to us today, Pete, from FC Manchester. Obviously, FC United, sorry, Manchester, because obviously that's where you base your training ground. I mean, that's unusual, but does that give you a bigger pool of players to kind of choose from? And also, mate, when you get to Barrow the day before games, how important is that community work that you do to get into the club and into the town?
Well, I think it's a unique football club in terms of what we do and how we go about our business. But we're based in the centre of Manchester. So you think we have a Leeds car school, a Preston car school, two or three lads from Warrington. And then we've got a couple of lads in the clubhouse. I'm very much massive on that players go home every night to the play. I think there's so many players in the north of England that we shouldn't have to go and delve into the south of England. There's nothing wrong with the place in the south of England, by the way. But I think
they're a bit soft, Pete, but other than that, they're all right.
But I want people to go home to their families every day. Why would you not want them to be? We're at our best when we're around our families. So I want that we have a better pool of players when they're going home every day to the families. So I think that's a massive part of the community spirit. I think, like you say, if I say to you, come and live in the centre of Manchester, and we've got two or three young lads who've moved to Salford Quays, and beautiful life on Salford Quays.
I used to work there. It's all right there, isn't it?
So all them things put into a pot, Barrow are still in their infancy of being back in the Football League. We need to have the biggest pool of players to try and make sure that it's not that Barrow doesn't spend another 40-odd years out of the league. So we have to do the best for the football club. And the owners have been fantastic, and the director of football moving us to FC United, and FC United as a tenant have been unbelievable. And there's a real sort of real connection and real work going on there. But then, like you say, when we go to Barrow, we have a duty as the hub of the community to make sure that we get across to the community element. So when we sign the players, we make it quite clear to them that on a Friday afternoon, you will be expected to go into the town to do community work in the schools or in the community as part of your contract. You've got to be up there on Friday night anyway, but you need to go up and you need to go and make sure we're at the height of the community. And luckily for us at the moment, things are going well. Every kid in the town's got a Barrow shirt. Every kid knows the players. The players are scouts when they go in the town. Everybody knows who they are. And I think it's that real drive and that real sort of northern industrial town sense of togetherness that's really working for us at the moment. Like I say, long may that continue. But again, with the players, they're away every weekend. So again, that team spirit, that camaraderie. If you've seen anything in our social medias, I think we're better at darts than we are at football at the moment.
Is that from the pub trade, Pete?
Yeah, there's a big Darts FA Cup match going on this morning in here. So, but it's all them bits where you want to try and build that camaraderie and that sense of team and that sense of we're all in it together. So all them things are working off the pitch for us at the moment. That's probably why we're doing okay on the pitch.
It's an amazing thing to listen to, Pete, because like you say, and it's... Again, when we cover teams in the EFL and we speak to the EFL Trust, we look at the stuff that's going on in the communities, you do realise, I mean, not that you kind of forget that type of thing, but it's always good to reaffirm just how much clubs mean to communities and how much communities mean to clubs. And as you say, the work you're doing there is so commendable in the sense of you are part of Barrow. This is the family side of it. Without sounding twee, this is your responsibility. First and foremost, it's the performance on the pitch. And then what dovetails off the back of that performance is being able to draw people together. And given the fact you talk about spending a lot of time together, 5 games in 21 days coming up. Yes, we're getting into Christmas. Yes, it's going to be very, very busy. Maybe a little break, an unforeseen break in the last week or so with that. Yeah. But that just, again, shows living out of each other's pockets. You can't have bad apples. You can't have rotten eggs or any other metaphor for food that means that you've got a bad person in the football club. It's do you look forward to this? Kind of hell for leather time of year, because it is, you're all hanging on to each other. It's that kind of fraternal bond that gets you through this, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is the great bit, isn't it? Growing up as a football fan and coming from the other side of things, to be involved in festive football is unbelievable. I still pinch myself and laugh about what's coming up. But this is where we're in the entertainment industry and we are here now to entertain people over the festive period. And it's a great run of fixtures. We've probably got the toughest run of fixtures you could possibly imagine with the teams we've come up against. But that's great. The players, the staff, they've all earned the right to be in this position at this time of the year. And we should go into it, enjoy it, knowing that ultimately that the pressure's not on us. The pressure's on everybody else to go and deliver for the finances they've thrown at the football club. Ours is to keep working as hard as we can and putting points on the board and knowing that the better we do, the more consistent we become. So I can't wait for the games. And like you say, there's some really exciting games. Three out of the 5 toughest grounds to go to in the next few things. And then 2 exciting ties at home against 2 top teams. So this is what we got involved in football for games like this and times like this. And like I say to the players, it's not your holiday. Our holidays start in May. So... forget your holidays. Our holidays are in 5 months' time.
Pete, you mentioned about being a football fan, big Oldham fan. Am I right in thinking when you played Bradford, you invited Mark Hughes into your office and you took him down because he ruined your childhood?
We'll say took him down, mate. Yeah, as a massive Oldham fan, mate, he did ruin my childhood. My assistant thought it'd be funny to sort of bring it up it upset me. And then, man, as a true professional, he goes, "Why, what for dumpy?" I said, "I'm an Oldham fan, mate." He killed me. So he's a good laugh about it. But then he started to go into, he opened up about Man United. So my mate was over the moon because he's opened up about Man United. I just sat and smoked with a beer in my hand.
Giving him daggers.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Pete, it's such a pleasure to talk. It really, really is. And I'm a bit like you sometimes when you do kind of say it's MRQs, or especially given the different angle of what my job is now, when you get the chance to spend with people that have been in the game, I'm just kind of sat there agog listening to like the stories that they've got and asking them the right type of questions. But I think it's safe to say, given what Barrow have done this season, you talk about big games coming up. Stockport on Boxing Day is an absolute doozy, isn't it? There's no sense. You talk about maybe different expectations on those clubs. There's no imposter syndrome with Barrow. Barrow, they're absolutely there on merit. Talking to you now, you can absolutely see why. And the way you go about attacking this league with that fearlessness is absolutely shining through. So you say about holidays beginning in May, that could be if things go very, very well indeed. If it goes slightly less well, it might be a bit longer than that. Holidays might come in June. So what for you, given where you are now, sat in the league, what's the aim for Barrow? And don't give me that straight back. Come on.
I love my cricket. Let's do that straight back. Honestly, mate, number one job at the start is, well, when we first came to the football club, it was try and make sure an established League Two football club. We, as a football club, now talk about par being 10th. Anything 10th is par. And if the worst job I do here, mate, is that we make them a top 10 League Two club, it's not a bad start for 10. So let's have it right. Where they've come from and where we are. If the worst job we do is we're a top 10 League Two club, then fantastic. But obviously, we want to finish as high as we can. We want to emulate the 9th place last season, which was the 5th best finish in the club's history. So first and foremost, we want to emulate that. And the quicker we emulate that, the better. Don't get me wrong. And we just want to keep putting points on the board, mate. We know if we keep putting points on the board, we're not daft. We know where we'll be if we keep at this run rate that we're on. So we just want to see where we can. Utopia is we get out of this league. Of course it is. Why would we all? But we wouldn't be in football if didn't want to try and get out of this league. So utopia is we get out of the league. But we're not halfway yet. We've got a lot of football to come. The fixture list deltas are bad on at the start of the year, and 7 out of our first 10 games are away from home. So when we walk out of Wrexham on New Year's Day, we'll have done 14 away games. So we'll have done very well in terms of away games. And everybody knows Holker Street's a tough place to come. We want to make it a tough place to come. And if we can turn into the new year and we're in a decent position, then we have a lot of games at Holker Street. And we have to make sure that Holker Street is, if I want of a better phrase, a cow of a place to go.
Hey, nicely put, Pete. Just one final one from me. I know you've got a bit of a reputation, well, not a reputation, but you like your media staff to go and hunt down stories where you are seen as the underdog, maybe, and give it to the players and hand out to the players. Go and read that. Are you finding those articles that are getting less and less at the moment to find?
Yeah. Do you know what? And I'm really careful with what I say about other teams because of what I try and do for us. A team the other week put a quote up in the dressing room, and they left it in the dressing room that I said I were devastated that he'd found an angle for me, that what my quote had said. But yeah, they are becoming tougher to find. But it only takes 2 or 3 bad weeks, and they'll turn back up. The beauty of football is that it's ever changing, isn't it? We'll have bad periods. There'll be ups and downs, and the real. So the teams that do well, we find the consistency and the inconsistency. Yeah. So when you do have a bad time, the quicker you come out of it, they're the teams that generally do all right. So we're fully aware here that there'll be bumps in the road. We're fully aware that they will come. And when they come, it's important that we all remain together and we all stick together and we fight and scrap our way out of them as quickly as possible. So don't get me wrong, I don't want the bump to come anytime soon. I want to enjoy my Christmas. But I am fully aware that at some point they'll come, and then hopefully them media stories where people play us down will be great.
Brilliant.
Pete, this has been an absolute pleasure. I really do thank you for your time. I know another manager's lot is a very, very busy one, considering even more so how hands-on you are. I mean, sensible balanced management. Will that ever catch on? We'll see in due course, won't we? 5 games in 21 days. We wish you all the very best with it. And if you get a chance, have a very Merry Christmas, mate.
Thanks. Same to you, fellas. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, mate. Pete. Good luck, buddy.
Pete Wilder, absolutely fantastic. Gary Weaver, you were fantastic as well. And you're going to have a little break now because we're going to get more of you in the second half of the podcast. But in the interim, we're going to get Wayne Rooney's 72 in 72.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rooney. This is the 72 in 72. Birmingham City, Blackburn Rovers, Bolton Wanderers, Accrington Stanley, Leicester City, Leeds United, Sheffield Wednesday, Fleetwood Town, Rotherham United, Coventry City, West Bromwich Albion, Cardiff City, Swansea City, Leighton Orient, I think, Stockport, County Morecambe, Wrexham, Ipswich, Hull City, Southampton, Portsmouth, Millwall, Charlton, Plymouth, I'm lost. Fleetwood, I don't know if I said them. Carlisle United, Bristol Rovers, Bristol City, I don't know, Stevenage. I don't know if I'm going international.
You just got that, mate. Stevenage was in there.
So, Wayne Rooney there with a score of 28, which means he goes in at number three with a bullet. Matt Smith is top with 38. Richie Wellens, 33 in second. Wayne Rooney there in third with 28. John Coleman, Mark Albrighton, Joe Bryan, Liam Rossignol, Andrew Moran, Valerian Ishmael, Alfie May, Gary Rowett, Stuart Dallas, Reuben Colwill and Aaron Ramsey propping up the lots. I could say that is a rogues gallery, but I won't because I'm way too nice for that. Speaking of nice, Gary Weaver is back after his little mid-pod break. Pete Wilde's a top man, isn't he?
Great character. Well, you know, a former tree surgeon, mechanic. Ran the pubs, as he said, and always wanted to be an EFL coach, and here he's living the dream. Brilliant character.
Is and given what we're seeing from Barrow, as I said to him when we first started talking, the chat is obviously about some hefty-sized football clubs in that division. So what they're doing, I mean, are we looking at an outsider, a dark horse for automatic promotion? That would certainly be a turn-up for the books, really, wouldn't it?
Some achievement that would be, particularly when, as Pete mentioned, the names that are surrounding them, standing amongst giants, the budgets that surround them as well. But obviously he's keen to play it down as well, isn't he? Quite rightly, because, you know, not halfway through the season yet. But no, they're going really well at the moment.
They're going really well. Stockport top, Wrexham, Barrow, Mansfield Crewe, Notts County. And in seventh, we've got AFC Wimbledon. Johnny Jackson, of course, at the helm. Ali Alhamadi as well. When you've got a player, a striker in that type of form, in the last five games, he's got a brace in four of those. potentially a man that could fire them to at least the playoffs in League Two. I suppose if you are a cynic, and as we all are deep down on this podcast, we're idealists with a little bit of cynicism thrown in. January's around the corner as well, though, isn't it?
It's your first loss, isn't it?
Can you stop scoring between now and January, Ali, and then pick it up in February?
Just turn all the phones off. It is. It's your first thought, though. As soon as you start saying that, you start thinking, well, January's there. But no, he's doing brilliantly. And as are AFC Wimbledon. As you say, the braces he's scoring, he's a fantastic finisher. You know what teams are like. They want strikers. He's right in the headlines right now. Plays for Iraq, doesn't he? He plays for the 65,000 when he goes and plays for his national team. But yeah, he's obviously fundamental in what Johnny Jackson's doing. And in the case of Johnny Jackson, Prutz, it's good to see him doing well, isn't
it?
Because
very much so.
He'd had a tough time. And I remember the end of last season, he had a really brutal fans forum where they questioned his tactics. They questioned his actual demeanour. Because they had had a tough time, hadn't they? I think it was two wins in the last 23. So, you know, Wimbledon fans quite rightly felt it was their chance to ask what the problems are. And Johnny Jackson needed a good pre-season, which he had, unbeaten, got the players in early. And, you know, they've taken off. He got the signings in early, which is key for pre-season, isn't it? And key for a good campaign. And yeah, they're going well at the moment, but he won't want to hear that January's just around the corner.
No, and fair play to him for fronting up in front of a fans forum.
Exactly, yeah. And as I say, Prutz, you know, we're fans of teams, and if your manager's there, you know, had a great time, then it is your right to ask questions. But, you know, Johnny admits it was brutal, but fair.
And certainly making his way, of course, after a long, distinguished playing career, Johnny Jackson. A little further down, in slightly more dangerous waters, we've discussed Tranmere in recent weeks, who seem to be manoeuvring themselves away from trouble, currently 6 points above the bottom two. Colchester, under Matthew Etherington, seemingly, can you hover in the opposite direction? No, you can't. Seemingly slipping in the opposite direction, given the fact we've got Forrest and Sutton in the bottom two. How worried would you be for Hughes fans, given where they are?
I think there are a few who are concerned. I think the problem you got, Prutz, is when you circle the plug hole for so long, as they have done in the last couple of years, you can go. Matt Etherington, obviously, he had a good time as interim manager. Won a few of his first four games. Since then, since he took over permanently, he's had a difficult time. But you can't keep changing manager, can you? You know, we've seen it before. If you keep changing, it's a revolving door at Colchester, then you're going to end up in trouble. So I think there is a fear amongst the Colchester fans this season could be the season. They've seen what's happened, obviously, down the road at Southend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't stop there with just that one relegation, but you know, you can get yourself into a bigger mess. But they're out of it at the moment, just about, at that bottom two. The destiny's in their own hands. That's all you can ask for at times like this. But you'd hope that, for Colchester's point of view, Matt can get the time and get them away from trouble.
Forest Green, as I said, second bottom, had the pleasure of spending time with Troy Deeney the other night, who is a articulate guest of ours. And obviously what he's done in the game is to be lauded and applauded, given the fact he's giving back now as a coach. He seems to be really enjoying that, as he was sat there chewing Gary Rowett's ear off.
He was, wasn't he?
I had nothing to offer him with regards to coaching advice. Anyway, speaking of coaches, let's jump up a division now into Sky Bet League One.
Yeah.
And we all thought it was a little harsh, Neil Harris coming out of Gillingham. Mm-hmm. But he swapped it for a team in League One now in Cambridge. Matt Bonner, of course, Mr. Cambridge United, has moved on, unfortunately. Neil goes in, sitting where they are in 18th spot, given where they were at the start of the season. I mean, knocking on the door of the very top end of that division. What then constitutes a good job for Neil between now and the end of the season, Gary?
Probably just keeping them out of trouble. You know, that's why they made the change. As you mentioned, they had a good start to the season. It was sad to see Mark Bonner go after everything he'd done with the club. They survived on the last day last season. It was tight then. You guess it could be tight again this time around. I think with Neil Harris, as you mentioned, Cambridge had a good start. So did Gillingham when he was in charge there. And it was a bit of a surprise that he left in the end. And he, you know, he's a football man. He always wants to get back in. He's got a bit of history with Cambridge, hasn't he? Because he played at Cambridge City. Cost him £5,000. Incredible.
Cambridge City, back in the 60s would be, I mean, that's the equivalent of about £1 million now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a Declan Rice kind of move. But he knows the city well. He's got friends who are Cambridge fans. He's got Michael Morrison and Ryan Bennett there, who he played against.
Yeah.
So you hope from their perspective that there wasn't any previous between them. And also there's players there that he's tried to sign in the past that have ended up at Cambridge. So obviously got the draw against Charlton, came back from two down, which, you know, is, well, the first half they played really well. Went two down, though, second half, and got it back to 2-2. But it's the kind of appointment, it kind of looks on the outside like it works, doesn't it? So yeah. I think staying out, in answer to your question, Brutz, staying above the relegation zone, staying out of trouble, you'd imagine would be a success for Cambridge this season.
So Cambridge 18th, Burton 19th, Exeter 20th. Burton, Dino Mamaria has been moved on from post in charge of them. And Exeter under Gary Caldwell, who, again, started the season in very positive form. Accrued the majority of their points so far very, very early on in the opening months of the season, and it's been a tough time since then. Let's go Burton first. Maybe the streakiness that we've seen from Burton this season, where long spells of doing okay and then other spells of coming away from it and not being able to find a victory. I mean, it goes to show just how tough the division is, doesn't it, really?
It is, and look, Burton's a club that I've covered for a long, long time. I know the chairman, Ben Robinson, the owner, I've known him for years. And I know when he makes a managerial change, it's with a heavy heart. Mm. It's not something he does lightly at all, not something he wants to do. You know, Ben gave Neil Warnock his chance, didn't he? You know, that Nigel Clough, Gary Rowett, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Mm-hmm. When he changes manager, you know it's the last thing that he wants to do, but he's obviously felt he's had to do it this time. Burton can't go back into League Two. They just can't. He said to me before when he's changed manager, just can't allow Burton to go back into League Two. Mm. You know, they were in the Championship when they a few years ago. So it's been an incredible story, Burton Albion's, all the way through. We take it for granted, I guess, sometimes. But they simply can't go back into League Two, and that's why he would have made that change. But as I say, he wouldn't have taken that change lightly at all, because I know it hurts Ben when he has to change manager. Yeah.
Gary Caldwell at Exeter City. Yeah. Again, there was a lot of chat early season about how well they were doing. And I mean, given this, again, it's tough to discuss this one because you look at the size of the teams in League One.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to say that history trumps what's going on right now on current form, does it? But it's quite clear that Exeter City have come quite a way away from what they were doing so well at the start of the season.
They need to score goals, but they need to start scoring goals. So it's the worst run since 1998. Winless in 11, two goals scored. You know, he's even Gary's even tried putting the centre-back, Cheick Diabate, up front on a regular basis to use his physicality and to try and play off him to try and get these goals. I mean, Gary thinks they're cursed at the moment because the ball's just not going in for them. But, you know, there were a section of fans chanting against Gary last weekend, which hurt him, obviously, but he accepts that's part of the game. But he doesn't think he's lost the dressing room. He says if he has, then he's gone. He will go of his own accord if he felt that was the case. If any believes, he can still turn it around. But, you know, we just mentioned Cambridge and the way they dropped off as well. It's amazing the teams can start so well and then suddenly everyone catches up with you and you've got problems. But scoring goals is their major issue at the moment.
There's consternation a few weeks back with regards managers and fans with Derby County. There was, and Conor Hourihan, of course, chatting after a defeat for the Rams, which really stuck in the craw for the travelling faithful. However, four wins on the spin in all competitions, currently sitting sixth. It seems to be a team that obviously has got a lot of expectation on it. It is doing what broadly people expect it to do, but kudos to Paul Warne for being able to stick with it and get a proper tune out of his players. And speaking of tune out of players, we saw Pompey take on Bolton, didn't we, on Monday night?
Yeah.
And it's a victory for the league leaders, which puts them six clear. Yes, Bolton have a game in hand. Statement victory for you, Gary?
I mean, League One, it's like League One last season, isn't it? The race at the top.
Brilliant.
It's just amazing, enjoyable to watch. But a big win. I mean, obviously, there was a big chance with Deion Charles, wasn't it, for Bolton, who missed that unbelievable chance in that game. But then Pompey took full advantage of it. Obviously, without Colby Bishop during the game, their leading scorer, he's injured at the moment. Yenge took his chance. And, you know, he went up against Ricardo Santos, didn't he? And Ricardo Santos, we know how well-renowned he is in this league. And he was excellent against him. But it's funny because Portsmouth's the kind of club, we said it before, you need a big personality to manage that club because of where they are, because of the expectations, because of the fan base, because of playing at Fratton Park, you know? And John Messino, he's just come in and done brilliantly. And it was, as we said before, to go from the job he was doing with the PFA, and I know he was coaching with Carl at Oxford as well, but to go in, take on this job and do what he's doing is incredible. But I don't think we've heard the last of that title race just yet.
No, it's going to be a titanic one, hopefully, from our neutral standpoint. It's, of course, the battle to get into the Championship. There was a midweek round of fixtures in the Championship, and they always do deliver. You've got the top two, Leicester and Ipswich. The pace that they're setting, there was that clipped up league table from last season that was doing the rounds on Twitter, X, Instagram, etc. And it shows just how comprehensively points-wise these teams are further along than we thought a team that Burnley was mopping up the division at that stage.
Well,
going into that game, that 20th game of the season before the midweek round of fixtures, it was the greatest return after 20 games in Championship history from Leicester's point of view.
Yeah.
And Ipswich equally on the coattails of a team that was in the Premier League last season, which is fantastic. You had the wonderful pleasure of being up at the Stadium of Light. So yeah. Sunderland taking on third place Leeds United. Leeds with the opportunity to close the gap playing a day before on Ipswich Town. But a team that's inherently managerless. There is, of course, Mike Dodds in charge, who's doing a wonderful job auditioning potentially for that role. Saw a way of beating Leeds United and the Black Cats came away with all 3 points.
Yeah. I mean, going into that game, you know, we get the stat packs from our wonderful stats people at Sky. So basically, we do no work. We just get given them. Anyway, I looked at the stats and it was like Leeds 4 points ahead of where Burnley were at this stage last season. And Leeds are third. And I think, Prutz, we're going to have potentially one team get 90-odd points and not make it into the top two, which is unbelievable. And there could be a team who gets sixth place in the playoffs on 60-odd points, maybe early 70s. And the biggest gap, I asked one of our stats people just to look at the biggest gap between third and sixth points-wise in the last two decades in the Championship, and it's 15 points that spread. I think it'll be a lot bigger this season because of the pace they're setting. But from the Sunderland perspective, Mike Dodds, interim head coach, Last time he was interim head coach, 2022, he was kind of head of player development, so wasn't really mixing with the first team really on a regular basis. But since the summer of 2022, he has been. So he came from a different angle this time. Yes, old Dodsey. Yeah, yeah, it was Luke O'Brien calling him that, wasn't it? Yeah,
Job's calling him.
And Joe Bellingham, yeah. So he's gone in from a different angle this time in that he knows the players really well. But yeah, in terms of Sunderland looking for a head coach, Will Steele of Stade Rennes. That's how you pronounce it, apparently.
Yeah,
the French league, he's been linked. They were having to pay €25,000 per match, a fine for him, yes, because he didn't have his pro licence. But I think he's starting work on it now.
Paying him back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the compensation might do it. But Sunderland reportedly spoke to him. Kim Hellberg, the Swedish coach, I spoke to a journalist in Sweden about him. And he said he's so highly thought of in Sweden that the top clubs there are looking at him. He got Van Amo into fifth in the top division this season in Sweden, which I was told was the equivalent of Bournemouth finishing fifth in the Premier League.
Okay.
Possession-based coach, likes to attack. So they're the two that are kind of the favourites for the job at the moment, although I think Kim Hellberg might be staying in Sweden. But we'll see what comes of that. But yeah, and as for Leeds, mate... That Fab Four, that front four, someone kept them quiet, didn't they? So yeah. Joel Pirou had a chance towards the end, which was knocked off the line by Trey Hume, but Sunderland found a way to nullify Leeds at the Stadium of Lights on Tuesday.
Big well done then to the Black Cats. Well done to Birmingham City. We heard from Wayne Rooney with the 72-72. They won away at Cardiff, a much needed win, and one that I'm sure will buoy the Blues. Norwich beat Sheffield Wednesday at Carrow Road. And we mentioned Ipswich, we mentioned Norwich.
Oof.
Ooh, wow, they come together on Saturday lunchtime at Portman Road. That's one to look forward to, isn't it? You'll be there, Gary?
Yeah, I'll be there with Chris Sutton one side, I won't be standing next to him, and Matt Holland on the other.
Hugging club legend Matt Holland on the Ipswich gantry.
If I'm at Carrow Road, I'm closer to Chris. If I'm at Portman Road, Chris, go over there, pal. Yeah, do you know what? I've done these games before. They are absolutely brilliant. One town against the city, county against county. Ipswich,
don't give away your big lines on here.
We've said this before. But what I say is, Brooks, Ipswich have been waiting for this. Yeah. Ipswich have been waiting for this because they've suffered. They've watched Norwich live the high life in the Premier League. Now look where they are. And do you know what, Pruts? I said before, you know I'm a supporter. I hate derby days. I dread them as a supporter because there's that stomach-churning tension. Yeah. But as a neutral, they are brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
They are fantastic. And one we're all dying to get to and look at. We saw Ed Sheeran at Vicarage Road with Elton John. Yes. So I presume that means that Delia Smith will be at Portman Road with Ed Sheeran on Saturday.
Yeah. East Anglian friends sat next to each other.
Yes. Be nice if we get him on. I'm going to try my best to see if we can get him in the
You've
studio.
You've got that pull, haven't you?
Well, I'll bring my guitar, shall I? Can you?
No, please don't.
No, don't. Okay. That could have made me sound more David Brent if I tried, could it? Anyway, Gary Weaver, this has been delightful. I mean, given your travel arrangements and that hefty backpack you take, to get to Ipswich, I think you probably need to get the train in about 10 minutes.
I was thinking 2 days ago, but yeah, I'll be going.
Well, tell you what, you've been a superstar. Thank you so much. I'll see you at the weekend.
I will. See you, Prutz. See you soon.
Commentators, odd bunch. Thanks to Gary for his co-hosting work once again. Pete Wilde was superb, as was Wayne Rooney in our 72-72. As always, if you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name's David Prutton. I'll see you same time next week for another brilliant episode of the official EFL podcast.